Lord, may your glory fill this house. May your presence fill our spirit. Lord, as we see in Isaiah 6, that this song sings about, your presence just filled the house of the Lord. And Lord, we desire that even for us today. Lord, may we focus on you, not our issues, not our struggles. For what we focus on gets bigger. So we magnify the Lord today. We thank you. We glorify you today, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Know that everyone's had a great time of Christmas. This kind of wraps it up, doesn't it? I mean, this is the... I have a daughter-in-law who would love to have Christmas every day. But we're kind of ready for routine again. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I did stop one bite short of gluttony several times. But we got some good gifts. I know that you got some good gifts. Have you ever gotten those gifts that you try to look thankful and excited, but you think, what in the world am I going to do with this? You know? And so I think we had received some of those gifts that someone just re-gifted it, and we got those. And so we have those gifts. But then there's those other gifts that, man, I can't wait until I get to use it. Well, today we're going to be talking about some of the gifts that the Lord has given us, and we want to be using those gifts. We want to be... He wants us to use the gifts that he gives us. Amen? I want to start in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. It says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So everything that God wants us to have, and he wants us to have his full inheritance, it comes through Jesus. So as we draw near to Jesus, so does his gifts fill us. And as we use them, we grow in his gifts. We'll be talking about what I mean by that. But how that first begins is the most famous Bible verse we mentioned all the time, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he, what? Gave. He gave us Jesus. Because he loved humanity, God gave us Jesus. Then Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, that he so loves us that he gives us the Holy Spirit. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So there's a great book I have on my shelf by James A. Seward. He was a great revivalist, and it's called Heaven's Throne Gift. And it's a great title because as Jesus went to heaven, he says, when I get to heaven, I will send to you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so that is heaven's throne gift, is the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So out of the motivation of love, God gives us Jesus. Same motivation, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. We then receive the Holy Spirit, and he brings spiritual gifts. So the gifts just keep flowing. Amen. It's like the Jelly of the Month Club, the just gift that keeps giving year round. So we see this, he brings gifts with him. And those spiritual gifts, we each receive them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one. Everybody say each one.
Each one.
Distributing to each one individually as he wills. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, he also brings with him gifts, spiritual gifts, and gives each one, he gives each one of us spiritual gifts. Now we know that you have one, but we also know that you have many. And you will have the gift that you need when you need it. Amen? When you're in a situation, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say. I will give you the words to say when you need it. You will receive the gift that you need in the time that you need it. And but I do say that there are many Christians that the gift stays on the shelf, still in the box. Maybe you don't know your spiritual gifts. And we can talk about that in a little bit. Maybe you don't appreciate the spiritual gift that you've been given. There was a season in the ministry where I didn't. I didn't appreciate the spiritual gift. I wanted a different one. I wanted a different one. I wanted the gift of evangelism. I wanted to travel the world and evangelize, and God wouldn't let me do that. And he and I was frustrated. I was wrestling with the Lord. Why can't I do what I want to do? And I want to do it for your glory, but I didn't. I wanted to do it for me. And he said, I've gifted you with exactly what you need for exactly what I've called you for. I've shared that testimony before and how I wanted to be anywhere but here, Sand Springs. I wanted to be anywhere but here. I wanted God to move me. I felt stagnant and weren't growing at the church. And I was so frustrated, and I wanted to just be anywhere but here. And I'm asking the Lord. I remember this trip when we landed in Israel, and I wanted to be in Israel so bad. And I just thought, maybe on this trip, the Lord will open up the doors and we'll get to move to Israel and be ministers in Israel. And I remember we hadn't been on the ground but a few hours, and it just felt like those doors were slamming shut. And we're going to be there a month. And I realized after day one, we might as well go back to the house. This isn't where he's called me. And so I came home just frustrated with God as to why he wasn't allowing me to do that. And that's when it was a political season. I'm driving down the road, and there's these signs of people politicking, and the Lord says, you have a relationship with that one? You have a relationship with that one? I'm just, you know, mad at God, just driving. And he says, I'm setting this thing up for just the right time. And the Lord is so blessed, and now, you know, the church is just amazing. I said this in the first service. I know there's no such thing as a perfect church, but this one is really close. y'all are just one of the greatest gifts that I have in my life. And so I so thank God for you. And so my testimony changed from I want to be anywhere but here to I don't want to be anywhere but here. Amen. This is a gift to me, and to be a part of a faith family. And I hope that you feel that way about your faith family, that this is a gift. And because the church is one of the greatest gifts that the Lord gives a Christian. The church is one of the greatest gifts that the Lord gives a Christian. And it's for every facet of life. God works through other people's giftings to bless each other as we need it in that time. Amen? Jesus is so amazing and awesome that not one individual can fully display Jesus. Right? I mean, I've had people say, you know, I see Jesus. I mean, well, you don't see all of him. I couldn't handle it. None of us as an individual bear all of his characteristics, but all of us can bear all of his characteristics. There's not a thing that anybody on the outside of these walls could have a need that those on the inside of this wall couldn't fulfill. As these spiritual gifts are being manifested through the body of Christ, which is the church, there's not one need out there that can't be fulfilled through you. Amen. I'm not one of those preachers that this, it annoys me. And it just happened the other day. We were somewhere and you'll know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been in one of those church services when the preacher says, turn to the person to your left and tell them, I won't do that. That is so uncomfortable. I won't even do that to my wife. I'm not going to turn to her and tell her. But I will tell you this. Look to the person to your left. Look to the person to your right. Look to the person in front of you and look to the person behind you. And God put your gift in their care. They have your gift. One of the gifts that God wants to give you is in their possession. I love the relationship that we have with the pastors in this city, and I love every one of them. I don't have any that I know of that we don't have some kind of relationship. And I remember Pastor Billy at Eastern Hills. Eastern Hills was needing. He said we had spiritual needs, and our church, we had different needs, he said. And the Lord spoke, he said, he spoke very clearly to me. He said, everything that Eastern Hills needs is found in the other churches. And that, do you understand the humility that it takes for a pastor to say that to other pastors Our church needs you. And he did that. And he said, and they've been doing a food ministry, I think he said, for 30-something years at Eastern Hills. And he said, our people need to know how to pray like Sand Springs people pray. This is literally what he said. And so now we have ministers from Sand Springs that go over to Brother Danny and several that will go with him. And they go over there and they're praying with people. And Brother Billy told me last month, he said, for the first time in 30 years of Eastern Hills food ministry, we're now seeing fruit out of that ministry. Good. He said, for 30 years, we never had anybody in that food line ever show up in our church. Until now. It just blew me away. First off, I thought, you did this for 30 years with no fruit? but that's, man, that is so from God. God. He heard God right. Amen. And the gift that you need is found in the person next to you. It's found in the person behind you, in front of you. God has gifted us with gifts. And it's not prideful to say that you're gifted in an area, because you can't take credit for it if you've been gifted. It's been given to you. We know the passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, is by grace you have been saved, not of works, not of yourselves, as a gift. It's a gift from God. Salvation's a gift, and so are these other giftings that you might have. You may not know what they are. How do I find my spiritual gift? You experiment. You experiment. You explore. You might not do this on your own. It may require somebody to give you a little, give you a little nudge. I remember that Sunday I walked the aisle at Rock Hill Baptist Church in Brownsboro, and I said, I believe I'm supposed to be a missionary. And now I know that I was just surrendering to Jesus, not to the mission field necessarily. I just, wherever he leads, I'll go. That was actually the song at the invitation that day. And so that was on a Sunday morning. And after that service, Brother Ron, the youth pastor, comes to me and said, you're going to talk to the youth group on Wednesday night. And he had me trapped, because I wanted to say, no, I'm not. but I just surrendered to ministry. So he trapped me. And I was scared to death. I didn't want to do that. I thought, man, these kids going to, they're not going to find anything interesting in me whatsoever. And I grew up in this church from the time I was 12 till I graduated high school. And the youth group in this church consisted of me and one other kid. I know how to do a youth group. And so Brother Ron said, you're going to talk to the kids on Wednesday night. I did. I don't know what I even said to them. But after that service, so many of them flocked around me and just started firing questions at me and just wanted to literally just hang out with me. One of them's in this congregation right now. And I just, after that night, the first time I ever did it, I said, I want to do this the rest of my life. I want to do this the rest of my life. I went into that thing. I don't want to do this. And then I said, I want to do this the rest of my life. You know, you won't know until you've tried using your gifts. Don't let his gift lay on your shelf in the box. We have a Christmas gift that I've already told on her twice now. I'm going to tell it again. And this Christmas gift was given, I don't know how many years ago. And it'll be in one room, and then it just gets moved to another room. It's still in the box. And Luke, I know, put a lot of thought into giving his mother a Bob Ross chia pet. And so if y'all don't know who Bob Ross was, he's the guy with the afro, and he had the little happy trees, and there's no mistake, only a happy accident, and that's Bob Ross. And so this chia pet has never been, it's still in the box. And I have a feeling that after today's sermon, we're going to see Bob Ross's hair grow real soon. and I know Luke's just wounded over the fact that his mother has never grown his Bob Ross chia pet. But God knows specifically for you the gift that will be most fulfilling to you. And he's given you that gift. And if you don't know that you have it yet, then it's time to explore. It's time to experiment so that you can experience the gift that God has for you. I don't even know where I am, sister, on the Bible verses, so let's just keep That was a good introduction, right? You think that was, it's a good time to get started. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one. Everybody say each one. Each one individually as he wills. So God has given each one of us. If you're a child of God, you've been given a gift. You've been given gifts from the Holy Spirit. Well, so there's another passage. He wants you to want them. Chapter 14, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. You see that? He wants you to want your gift. You ever give somebody a gift and you watch their expression and you knew that they didn't want it? Well, he wants you to want your spiritual gift. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So he wants you to want them. He wants you to be knowledgeable about them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. He wants you to know about your spiritual gifts. We're meant to learn the truth of God's word and to apply that to our lives. So he wants you to want the spiritual gifts. He wants you to be knowledgeable about your spiritual gift. And he wants you to use your spiritual gift. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Amen. How clear is that? Let us use them. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And it just goes on then into more and more. There's God wants you to want it. He wants you to know about it. He wants you to use it. And then it tells us, the scriptures tell us, he wants you to use it on each other. 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 12. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church. The edification of the church that you seek to excel. God wants you to want your spiritual gift. He wants you to be knowledgeable about your spiritual gift. He wants you to use your spiritual gift, and he wants you to use it within the context of the church in order to build up one another. Amen? Christy received a gift for Christmas. Her brother gave her one of those deep tissue massage guns. You know what I'm talking about? And God wants her to use that gift on me. I know he does. I think that's a word from the Lord. And so, we ought to be using our spiritual gifts to bless other people. And that's how we give the gifts that God gave us. And that just continues to flow. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, as each one, everybody say each one. Each one. It pops up over and over and over again, doesn't it? As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We talk about stewardship, and oftentimes we think about money, and that we're to tithe of 10% of what God has given us. We are to tithe back to him that 10%, and above the 10% is offering. It's giving even more. Well, it's not just the finances that we're supposed to be good stewards of. It's also his gifts. He's gifted us with the finances, but he's also gifted us with spiritual gifts. And he wants us to be good stewards of those spiritual gifts. I'm going to read it again, 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So as we read these scriptures, we study about spiritual gifts. Your gift is in their possession. Their gift is in your possession. And as we use the gifts, we find fulfillment and meaning and joy when we get to use the gift that God has given us. Amen? And so you might be thinking, well, I don't really even know what direction to look in to find my spiritual gift. Chase your passion, you'll catch your purpose. Amen? You chase your passion, you'll catch your purpose. How is it that you feel closest to God? How is it that you feel closest to God? What is it that just fulfills you? It may be that someone not need to nudge you in that direction to help you to say, here's an area that I want you to serve in. And you try it and you say, man, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. That's okay. There's so many other areas. But let's say that you said, well, you know, I don't know how that I might teach or preach. That doesn't seem a right fit for me, but boy, I really don't mind. I love opening up my home and watching people come and enjoy just time together. Do you know that's a spiritual gift? It's called the gift of hospitality. And it is an awesome gift. And I promise you, we have a guy in our church that is responsible for small groups, and he is looking for more and more people with that gift. Right, Brett? It means more people with the gift of hospitality. And you combine that with a person who has the gift of teaching, oh my goodness. You have an amazing small group. You combine that with someone with the gift of administration. See, that's a spiritual gift. You say, well, I don't really want to preach or teach, but or even host people in my home. But I'm really good at organizing things and putting things together, and I love watching things come together and happen. That's called the gift of administrations. It's in the Bible. And it is a huge need in the church. Huge need in the church. And so that is a gift. Be using that. There's so many that are just struggling because they might be a visionary like myself, but struggle in an area of administration. But you combine those two people together, you partner them together, and oh my goodness, you got things happening. Amen. So explore, experiment. And when you experience the fulfillment from God working through you, you found your spiritual, one of your spiritual gifts. Amen? And then in any time of need, just always know that God will work through you to fulfill a need in someone else. And so use your spiritual gifts. I'm going to go back over those things. God wants you to want them. He wants you to be knowledgeable about them. He wants you to use them, and he wants you to use them on each other for the growth of the church. First Corinthians. No, let's go Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Let's actually back up to verse 8. When he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. What you see in this passage of scripture about, and by the way, Ephesians is one of my favorite, maybe my favorite book of the Bible. Judging by the paper that I have worn out, Ephesians 1 and 2, 3 and 4, I just eat it up. But I want you to see in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, and he, God, put all things under his, Jesus' feet, and gave him to be head over all things. Everybody look at this. Can you see that? To the church. Gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church. Many of us know that scripture where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And that can happen in Walmart. Amen? But Walmart ain't the church. And maybe you've been church hurt and you don't want to be involved in a church anymore. But I'm going to tell you, there is no other option. There is no plan B. Jesus had one plan. It's the church. So what makes a church? A church is a collection, a gathering of a body of believers that are submitted to one another, operating in their spiritual gifts to do five things that Jesus talked about. I noticed nobody sit on the front row. It's because I spit all over the place while I'm trying to preach. The five things that I preach over and over and over again is that Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and he anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, set captives free, to restore sight to the blind, and declare the acceptable year of the Lord. The five things that the church is supposed to be doing is seeing people get saved, their souls healed, them being delivered from bondage, their bodies healed, and their lives restored. And that's a church where believers come together, submitted to one another, using our spiritual gifts to do those five things. That's a church. Just a bunch of folks gathering together over a dinner table, that's a small group. I don't know if y'all picking up what I'm putting down, but it's not a church. Church is a body of believers submitted to one another using their spiritual gifts. A country is not a country without a government. Y'all following? I'm taking y'all deeper than I took the first two services. And a church is not a church without some sort of an organization which we're submitted to one another and saying, we're going to intentionally use what God has gifted us with to the glory of Christ, the growth of His kingdom, and the good of this community. That's a church. Amen. And He wants us to use our spiritual gifts to one another to build up the church. Ephesians 1, I was reading about to the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Y'all see that? To who? Principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You know that passage of scripture that says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. And now it says the church is supposed to be telling the angelic realm, hey, Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Amen? And we're supposed to be displaying it, that the King of all kings is on planet Earth, and He is here destroying the works of the devil. Amen? And now another one, chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. Yeah. Spiritual gifts. To Him be glory. What's those next three words? In the church. By Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 8. When He ascended on high, led captivity captive, He gave gifts to men. Verse 10, He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What does that mean? It means He's gifted us with gifts, and we're supposed to be using them together to grow us all up together. And you know what it then says? Until we're all united together. We're all united together, growing up together. So, I'm not going to tell you to turn to your neighbor and ask them, but after the service, you might say, where's my gift? You got my gift. You're supposed to be using your gift on me. Now, that sounds a little selfish. It's not, because they can turn back to you and say, okay, where's my gift? We're supposed to be using our spiritual gifts to help each other grow in the Lord. Amen? Amen. So this year, we're wrapping up 2024. Some of you might be saying, praise God. We're wrapping it up. But I think New Year's resolutions are good, because you say, there's some things in my life that I want to improve, And I'm making an intentional decision to do so. And I think the year 2025 for Sand Springs is a year of spiritual gifts. And I'm praying that you will begin really experimenting, exploring, seeing what God has gifted you with. And then growing the gift. Paul told Timothy, stir up the spiritual gift that God has given you with the laying on of my hands. He said, stir it up. Grow in that. How do I grow in my spiritual gift? It's a gift. He gave it to me. How do I grow in it? Use it. When you use it, He'll grow it. Yeah. Amen? So I pray that this year we would be intentional and say, I really want to know more about my spiritual gifts, the gifts that he's given me, and I want to use them for his glory. His glory is my good. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for gifting us the way that you have with salvation, for gifting us with the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for gifting us with spiritual gifts that we can gift one another with them and be fulfilled in what you are doing, not only in us, but through us. Lord, may every one of us say, I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. I want him to flow through my life. Lord, we know how that happens. It's through the spiritual gifts, stewarding them well. Lord, may it be so for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we have a time of invitation? Praise team going to lead us in a song. As we worship, maybe the Lord has illuminated something in you. Maybe there's some seed that's been sown on your mind. He's given you an idea. He's given you a thought. The Bible talks about a man's heart being like a soil that the Word of God is the seed. And if it's not received, the devil will come and steal it away. And so maybe you've got a thought and you're thinking, is that a God thought? Well, it could be that it's more than just a thought. It is a God thought, and it's not supposed to just sit there softly, but to be received. That God wants to use you. And if he's giving you these gifts, you're depriving us by not using them. And so, as you're seeking the Lord now, really go deep with God and say, Lord, I really want to know what you want to do through my life. I'm seeking you now. And if you know it, tell somebody. That solidifies it. It nails it down. You tell somebody. Our prayer team's at the front. Maybe you want to come tell them or have them pray over another area. Or maybe you just want to come spend some time at the altar in prayer. You do so as we sing.